Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Williams has time against a four-man rush. Backpedaling, scanning, now running out of time. Circling back. Joystick on the move again. Are you kidding me? Caleb Williams dancing, cutting, mesmerizing run by the quarterback. Finally dragged down at the 20. It's a highlight reel tonight.
He did the Heisman pose earlier. If he wants to do the Heisman pose after this play, I'm okay with it.
Caleb Williams awesome for USC on Saturday night in the Coliseum, a Coliseum that was packed for Notre Dame in a game that USC had to win to enhance their playoff possibilities. And Caleb Williams, for all intents and purposes, Caleb Williams from the D.C. area, played at Gonzaga, went to Oklahoma, picked Oklahoma over Maryland, and went with Lincoln Riley to Southern California. Has, I think, wrapped up the Heisman. The odds are overwhelmingly over Max Duggan and a couple of other people. C.J. Stroud lost his opportunity Saturday. Williams was 18 of 22 Saturday night in the Coliseum for 232 yards and a touchdown throwing. He had 9 carries, 35 yards, and 3 rushing touchdowns. He's like right now at BetMGM, right now he's minus 2,500. So he is a lock to win the Heisman Trophy. Congratulations to him. I guess he could go out and have a terrible game on Friday night against Utah in the Pac-12 championship game, and Duggan could have a great game for TCU, but I think he wrapped up the Heisman. I will say this. Notre Dame was right there. You know, they had the 2 turnovers in the second half. They're driving to start the second half down 17-7. By the way, I bet Notre Dame. I didn't give them out as a smell test pick, but I bet Notre Dame plus the 6. They're driving, and the quarterback fumbles, you know, deep in USC territory. That could have been 17-14. They were down 31-21, and they threw an interception. They had chances, certainly to cover anyway, and they didn't get it done. But USC gets to 11-1. I did want to mention just 2 other games from Saturday. You know, our belief that Clemson was not a very good team all year long was really wrapped up and packaged up nicely on Saturday. Now, I gave Clemson out. That was one of the few losses I had this weekend. I just thought they were giving too big of a number to a team that had annihilated Tennessee the week before. By the way, congratulations to Shane Beamer, Frank Beamer's son, and the incredible job he did at South Carolina. He eliminated 2 playoff teams in the final 2 weeks of the regular season, eliminating Tennessee 63-38, and then on Saturday, rallying from 14-0 down and a 9-point halftime deficit to beat Clemson 31-30. I have no idea what Dabo was thinking leaving DJ in there. The dude was 8 for 29 for 99 yards and an interception. He was terrible. This was the problem with Clemson. We've seen Denton since the beginning of the year. They did not have a good enough quarterback. How do you leave him in there and not bring the freshman in there when he is 8 for 29? That's beyond me. Spencer Rattler, how about the way he finished up? But Clemson losing, it was good to get them out of there. And then LSU losing to A&M. This game was 17-17. LSU was coming back. They had the ball, and Jaden Daniels fumbled on a read option keeper, and it was picked up and run back for a touchdown, and that changed it all. It's disappointing for me because I would have loved to have seen LSU this weekend against Georgia with a playoff spot on the line for LSU because I thought they were really playing good football. A&M treated this like the game of the year. I mean, after nobody was in their stadium a week before against, who was it, UMass? Who did they play the week before where you had the stadium shots of basically nobody in the crowd? I think it was UMass.
One of those layup games that the SEC always schedules before the big games.
Yeah. And it was packed and raucous, and they were really good defensively, and their running back ran for 200-plus yards. So LSU and Clemson were both eliminated from the playoff race on Saturday. I mean, if Clemson wins that game, they lost 31-30. I hate to say it, but we're sitting here talking about them being a win over North Carolina away from it being, you know, perhaps a playoff spot or certainly a debate with USC. So let's get to it. I think it's really easy when we get the rankings tonight. It's Georgia. Now, you made the case for Michigan earlier. That's an interesting case. I'll let you make it here in a second. But I think it's Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC. I mean, those are the four teams. If you want to put them in an order of Michigan, Georgia, TCU, USC, have at it. But I think we'll see Georgia, Michigan, TCU, and USC as the top four tonight. And then what will be key is who is number five, Ohio State or Alabama. I think it'll be Ohio State, one loss versus a two-loss Alabama team, even though those two losses were by a grand total of 4 points. The problem is they needed LSU to win against Texas A&M, and they lost. So LSU's going to drop. And Tennessee, even though they blew out Vanderbilt, they've got the two losses there. But I think Ohio State will be five, Alabama will be six, which will be crucial because if somehow you see Bama move ahead of Ohio State, whoever's five tonight is the first one in if USC loses to Utah on Friday night, which, by the way, they're only a 2.5-point favorite to avenge their only loss of the year. Utah's very capable of winning that game, one of the best coached and one of the toughest teams in the country. So it's those four in that order, in my opinion. If, you know, Georgia and Michigan obviously don't have to win. They're already in. TCU, I don't believe, has to win. I think a blowout loss is the only thing that could eliminate them from the field. If they were to get hammered 45-17 by K-State, I think that could be a problem for TCU. As a one-loss team against a one-loss Ohio State in a comparison. I think the one team that absolutely has to win is USC. If they don't, I think Ohio State's in. If TCU gets hammered and USC loses, then maybe Ohio State and Alabama are both in. And by the way, in that scenario, and maybe even in the scenario where USC loses and TCU loses a close game, it's possible Ohio State could be in as the 3 seed, setting up a rematch with Michigan in a semifinal in Arizona, I guess, that would be played in. But how do you see it? I mean, those are the 6 teams with a chance. Nobody else. Tennessee doesn't have a chance. Obviously, Clemson and LSU were eliminated. I actually think Penn State's probably one of the best 4, 5, or 6 teams in America, but they don't have a chance. How do you see it?
Well, I do just want to say if that Ohio State situation happens and they get a rematch against Michigan and they lose, Ryan Day would never be allowed back in Columbus. Like, they wouldn't even be able to go back and get his things from his homes. They'd ship it to him. They'd just leave him there. I don't think that Michigan is going to be number one tonight, but I do think the committee is kicking around the idea because Georgia has been kind of boring for the past few weeks.
Agreed.
They beat Tennessee, but you and I think both agree they should have destroyed Tennessee. And they beat them by 14 because Kirby got conservative. And you look at something like they beat Georgia Tech. I mean, surprise, surprise.
It was 10-7 at halftime, though.
Right. So if the committee cares about game control, I don't know how that works. That's like continuation in basketball. It works for some people. It doesn't work for other people. But if they care about game control, they look at that. They beat a Kentucky team 16-6. Kentucky is not good, Kevin. They're not a good football. I mean, they're like average at best. You look at who Georgia's beaten. The Tennessee win is probably the best win of the entire season. I get that. and they beat Oregon to start the season. But just on the way they finished their season compared to Michigan, who now has a fully rounded out offense with J.J. McCarthy being able to throw, I think you at least have to float the idea that potentially Michigan is the best team in college football.
You know, I didn't even think about it, but you're right. Michigan's resume is a better resume than Tennessee's. Their wins, their blowout wins over Penn State and Ohio State are trump Georgia's one solid win, which was the win over Tennessee. And, you know, the Oregon win to start the season, with Oregon losing twice in the last three games, that takes the luster off that a little bit. Michigan's resume, despite their weak non-con schedule to start the season, which included games against, I think it was Hawaii, and was it Colorado or Colorado State? I think it was Colorado State. They ended up beating UConn, who ended up having a good season. But yes, I agree with you. It's really an interesting thing to bring up, because I wonder if on the selection show tonight, anybody else will consider whether or not Michigan should jump Georgia for number one. Now, they did not in any of the two polls. You know, the AP and the coaches poll both had Georgia 1, Michigan 2. But their resume with the two wins over Penn State, who, by the way, is a hell of a football team. Penn State lost to Michigan and Ohio State. They led Ohio State in the fourth quarter. Remember that. They crushed everybody else on their schedule. Everybody. I mean, they destroyed teams this year. You know, a Minnesota team that I think was, I mean, wasn't Penn State barely even favored in that game over Minnesota? Destroyed them. Destroyed Maryland. Destroyed Indiana. Destroyed Michigan State. On Saturday. Actually, that was a little bit closer in the fourth quarter. They crushed Auburn, who wasn't any good. Understood. They beat, by the way, on the road in the opener, right? Wasn't this the Labor Day weekend Friday night game when they beat Purdue, who's in the Big Ten championship game against Michigan? So that's an interesting case. So, all right, whatever the order is, Michigan, Georgia, or Georgia, Michigan. You got TCU and USC right now, 3-4, I assume, right?
Yes, yeah.
So what has to happen Saturday for Ohio State or Bama to get in?
I agree with you that USC, if they lose, they're out, yep. No matter what. The TCU thing I think is interesting, because I think they can still get in with a loss, like you had mentioned, but I wonder what the leash is. Like, what constitutes a blowout? If they lose by 10, is that too much for the committee? Does it have to be a one-score game? Can they lose by potentially 12? Like, I'm curious as to what that number is that the committee would say, no, we can't let them get in with this kind of loss, but we will accept a loss of this
magnitude. I think
it's
domination. I think it's, you know, we watch the game Saturday at noon, and K-State's in control from the jump throughout, and they win 35-14. And TCU never has a chance. I think that becomes a problem for TCU. Anything else, you know, 20-10, then it's 20-13, it's a one-score game going into the fourth quarter, but they end up losing, you know, 34-20 or something like that. You know, if they've got a chance to win that game and they lose, I think they're in. I think that their regular season was... And by the way, the eye test recently, to me, they pass it. Again, the would they be favored over Ohio State or Alabama? I don't like that conversation a lot of the time, because it's too heavy on odds makers and not on, you know, what kind of season they ultimately had. They wouldn't have a conference championship, nor would Ohio State or Alabama. And both Bama and Ohio State would be double-digit favorites over TCU. There's no doubt about it. Hell, Michigan, if they play TCU in one of the semifinals, is going to be, you know, a 10-point favorite over TCU, right? 7-10, yeah. Somewhere in that range.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
But I think they're in, personally, with a loss, as long as it's not a one-sided beatdown loss.
And
you agree that Ohio State would be the first in if SC loses or TCU gets hammered?
Yeah.
Over Bama?
I think so. I was trying to, like, make a case for Bama in my head, but at a certain extent, like, the losses do have to matter. I mean, that's why we play the game. So I do think Ohio State would have the advantage over Alabama.
Yeah, it's the one loss, in your opinion, maybe, and maybe in the committee's opinion tonight, it would be the one loss to the best team in America. Certainly the team that's playing the best right now. We'll get the results tonight at 7 o'clock, and then, look, already, you know, in looking at the championship weekend, TCU is a short favorite against K-State, and in the Friday night game, the Pac-12 championship game in Vegas, SC is just a 2.5 or 3-point favorite against Utah, the team that they lost to by 1 point on a late touchdown and 2-point conversion. I give Utah and K-State real chances to win. By the way, what could change the Michigan Georgia 1-2 situation could be Georgia losing to LSU, Michigan blowing out Purdue, obviously, or Georgia winning but not looking impressive and Michigan winning big over Purdue. Now, LSU's a better opponent than what Michigan has. So there we go. I think we've got it all figured out. The top four teams right now are obvious, and USC is the team out of the four that has to win. If they lose, they're out. TCU, it's, you know, a debatable question as to whether or not they're still in with a win. I think they would be as long as it's a close competitive win, a game they've got a chance to win in. I think everybody realizes K-State's a really good team. In fact, when the, you know, K-State's going to be, they're going to be close to the top 10. Tonight in the rankings. I guess Utah will be as well, with respect to what USC is going up against. But USC has a loss and TCU has an undefeated season. All right, I want to get to the Sean Taylor stuff. We'll do that next. By the way, phone lines open, 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Just your thoughts on the Sean Taylor Memorial installation, activation, as they called it, on Sunday before the game. Anything you want to say about that, phone lines are open, 301-230-0980. Kevin Sheehan Show, Team 980, the team980.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.